So, beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you're away from home in some wilderness, being prepared to be in the wilderness might mean the difference between life and death. Prepare to survive no matter the conditions you might run into. There are a lot of testimonies of people who acted foolishly in the wilderness and didn't make it home. Now, that's a sobering truth if you're just going into a Wyoming wilderness. But if we're Christians, we long to safely get to our eternal home, to dwell in the land, the promised land, which is the new heavens and the new earth. And to get there, you have to persevere through the trials and the tribulations to everything that comes your way on this earthly life. And that preparation requires wisdom. And it is the Lord who gives wisdom, as our text from Proverbs 2 so states, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And then notice the benefit. "He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He preserves the way of his saints, for the upright will dwell in the land." God's word, the scriptures, teach us to think about the Christian life as like the wilderness journey of the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt to the promised land, also called the land of rest. That was on the other side of the Jordan. There are scripture references that presume that the experience of the Christian church yet on this earth, that's us, you and I, that experience is not essentially any different from that of the Israelites in the wilderness. For instance, 1 Corinthians 10, Hebrews 3 and 4, essentially warn the Christian church to not do on our journey as the Israelites did on theirs. Listen to Hebrews 3:14. It says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." That's the end of our journey, inheriting the land. So hold steadfast while it is said, "Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the wilderness." In his letter to the Corinthian church, which was abusing its privileges of being Christ's people, Paul reminds them that the Israelites too in the wilderness, they partook of Christ, as did the Corinthians. They partook of Christ, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, because the water that sustained them in the wilderness, that water came from the rock. That rock was Christ. They partook of Christ. And yet, those Israelites in the wilderness, their bodies were scattered in the wilderness because they did not listen to wisdom. They did not heed the word of God. They did not survive the wilderness to get home to the promised land. That first generation did not. Now, when Proverbs was written by wise Solomon, although he certainly didn't act very wise later in his life, as we know, yet his words, Solomon's words, are those of him who is greater than Solomon, him who is perfectly wise. That's the eternal word, Christ, who came in the flesh, came into the world to become wisdom for us. He is wisdom for us, Christ Jesus. Christ was present in the Sinai wilderness, as we already mentioned, as the life-giving water. And Christ, after being baptized by John the Baptist, he began his ministry in the wilderness, tempted by Satan. So Christ also teaches the wilderness theme for the Christian life. That's our journey. We're going through the wilderness on the way to heaven. Christ teaches that also in the vision he gives to the Apostle John in Revelation 12, which is a word to the Christian churches, especially the first century, but applies to all of us. In that passage, the earthly church is represented by the woman who is given wings to fly into the wilderness. That's the affliction, the tribulation, the persecution of this present life. That's where the woman, the church, is, in the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, again, that's the church, that's us on this side of heaven. There in the wilderness, the Lord nourishes his church. He feeds her in the wilderness. Us now here, as we're journeying through the wilderness, he feeds us, his protective, sustaining, keeping her secure from the devil word. He gives his church wisdom to keep her on the path of security all the way home. Now, Christ Jesus, our Savior, who gained for us and is preparing for us our eternal home, he's our wisdom to keep us secure all the way in our journey to our inheritance, finally possessed, fully realized. Christ, the eternal Word made flesh, he imparts that persevering wisdom to us via his Word. And his Word, through various texts, remember it's all Christ's Word, various texts in Scripture teach us to think of the Christian life as a journey through a dangerous wilderness, a journey that depends for security on God's protective and sustaining wisdom so that we reach, are assured of reaching our eternal home. Now, if we rightly think of Proverbs as wisdom from God, we should expect that Proverbs, too, would portray life for God's covenant people, including us, the church, the Christian church, would portray our life as a wilderness experience, that its dangers would be pointed out to us by God, and that he would teach us the secure way, the way that we must follow so that we are assured of getting all the way home. And indeed, we see just that wilderness perspective also in our text from Proverbs 2. As we read, at the end of that chapter, Proverbs 2 ends with a promise that those who walk in the path of goodness and righteousness, they're the ones who will inhabit the land. This is a path of those who journey through this faith-challenging earthly life in the way of wisdom, as we'll see. And remember, we looked at this more fully last Sunday, but the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, Proverbs is written when there have been generations of God's covenant people already living in the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They've been there for many generations when Proverbs is written. They're the people who well know from what they have been taught, from what Moses has written down. They know about the journey of their forefathers through the Sinai wilderness. The journey they had to go through so that the next generation could actually inhabit the land across the Jordan. So to inhabit the land, when you hear of inhabiting the land, dwelling in the land, inheriting the land in the Scripture, biblically speaking, that always follows a journey through the wilderness. But notice that here in Proverbs 2, the inhabiting the land is yet future. They will inhabit the land, that is the upright. Implying that even though, as Proverbs is written, the moving tabernacle of the wilderness has been replaced by the more permanent Jerusalem temple built by Solomon. But what it's telling us by making the inhabiting of the land future is that God's covenant people are not yet permanently settled. There is a future land, and that means there is still a wilderness to journey through. Now, we know this is the case also from Hebrews 4. It makes the emphatic point that Joshua, the one who led the Israelites across the Jordan into the land, it says he did not give them rest because there yet remains a rest for God's people. That wasn't true rest. You look at the history of what happened in that promised land through Judges and Kings and Chronicles, you know there wasn't true rest there. But there is yet a rest, Hebrews tells us, for God's people. And that rest is the new heavens and the new earth will inhabit when Christ returns. And so the church, now remember, God's covenant people, Israel, in the Old Testament, they're called the Kahal. That's the congregation of the Lord. They're the Old Testament church. But now, as we are in the Christian age of the church, that means we too are on a journey to the land of final true rest. Proverbs looked ahead to it. We're on the way there. And so we need to get there. We want to get there. We have to have the assurance of security all the way there through this wilderness experience that is this earthly life. We have to note the wilderness dangers as we're prepared to deal with them, which is by way of wisdom. And those dangers are pointed out to us by Proverbs 2. The dangers against which only God, through his wisdom, is the shield for us. We'll look at this more, but the dangers are the way of evil, from which we must be delivered. That's verse 12. So we don't fall into the way of evil, don't follow the way of evil. We need God's shield. We need wisdom. The danger is from men who speak perverse things, those who leave the path of uprightness. Danger from devious ones, from the immoral woman, whose path, for all those who follow her, who follow that path, leads to death, as Proverbs 2 makes clear. Now we have to realize that all those dangers here listed in Proverbs 2 and other places in Scripture as well, those dangers won't be a concern for us once we reach our eternal home. But they sure are a concern for us. They ought to be a concern for us in this world as we journey in it. Because as we journey through the wilderness, this present Christian life, the evil one is always trying through the agents listed in Proverbs 2, deceitful man, strange, immoral, seductress, adulteresses, all those things listed in Proverbs 2, those are agents of the devil. And he's always trying to deceive us and destroy us like a roaring lion to have us walk off the path of wisdom to the path where there's no security. For those who follow that path will not inherit the land because they're not those who are upright. And it's only as we are here on this present earth, as we're going through this present earthly life, that we live in our fallible mortal bodies to which clings the old man, the sinful nature. And so it is as we are in this wilderness, this present earthly life, that we are prone to stray off the path of wisdom and instead onto the way of foolishness. We're prone to that because our flesh is always tempted by the easier, the seductive, makes all kinds of promises, deceitful ways of the world. We're prone to pursue the way of foolishness. We are. The path of vanity rather than the way of wisdom. But the way of wisdom is the only assuredly secure way to get all the way home. Be presumptuous of us to think that, we don't have to pay attention. We can live careless, foolish lives. We'll get home. No, that's presumption. What this text tells us is that walking in the way of wisdom is so profoundly beneficial because it's a secure way to get all the way home. And since wisdom, the beneficial wisdom, since wisdom is God's word, it's Christ's word, then we should receive it. We should incline our ears to it, be attentive to it when we hear it. We should cry aloud to God in prayer to discern understanding of God's word. We should seek after wisdom as though it were buried treasure. You know, you read all the time, I see it on the internet all the time, where people are pursuing and have been pursuing, you know, some sort of buried treasure, some ship that sank off some land in a storm. You know, treasure maps are a dime a dozen. People are love to search for treasure because they want treasure. Well, we should think of wisdom as that treasure that we pursue. We should want it so much that we're willing to make the effort to get it. That's what Proverbs, God's word, wisdom tells us to do. And when we are doing that, it says throughout this thing, we see if, and then we come to then. If you do these things, then you get the benefits. So when we are doing all that Proverbs calls us to do in terms of wisdom, then we get the benefits of God securing us through that wisdom all the way home. Because we'll be able to go through this life with discernment. We'll be delivered from the ways of evil on the way of wisdom. We'll be kept on the path of the upright, the way of righteousness and goodness. So we are assured of being those who will dwell in the land, the true promised land, new heavens and the new earth. And if you look at this Proverbs, it speaks to us as a father does to a son. Now, if you think about who's being addressed here, it's God's covenant people, the congregation in Israel, right? The ones who came to possess the promised land. It's talking to those generations. It's talking to us who are the covenant people in the Christian age of the church. And when Proverbs was written, the primary audience was the Israel of the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, Israel is called by God His son. So when we read, "My son, if you receive my words, incline your ears to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, cry out for discernment, seek wisdom as though it were a hidden treasure," the speaker is the Lord God. It's Christ. And who is called to listen? Who is called to do? It's God's people, Israel. And now in the Christian age, it's you. The church, the Christian church. We are the Israel of God in Christ. And so we are to be listening and doing as Proverbs calls us to do, as wisdom calls us to do, so that through your journey on the wilderness, you walk in assured security of getting home. So note in verses 4 and 5 of our text, we are told that if we seek after wisdom, then we will come to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, and that leads to wisdom. There's an interesting circle that's portrayed here, which is so true. Seek wisdom, find God. Seek God, find wisdom. Seek wisdom, find God. Seek God, find wisdom. And when we seek wisdom, we find it. It's a gift God gives us as He works in us to seek it. So when we get wisdom, we give thanks to God for it. I mean, getting wisdom should humble us before God because it's His gift. That means that gaining wisdom ought not to lead to pride in ourselves. Pride that, oh, look at me, I've gained wisdom. For it is by God's grace, first of all, that we seek after wisdom. And then we receive it from him as a gift. But receiving wisdom does require our diligent efforts in receiving God's word, making our ears attentive to God's word, having our hearts applied to understanding, crying out to the Lord in prayer to grasp wisdom, to grasp understanding. See, this if, which is our calling to do this so that we then receive the benefits, it's an example of God's sovereign grace and your responsibility working together. The fact that we are gaining wisdom, which is God's gift, by seeking it is just like our calling in Philippians 2, where it says, Christ the Apostle Paul is calling them to obey. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out, work out your salvation. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So here in Proverbs 2, there is a call to do. Receive his word. And notice the benefits that keep you secure on the way, that is the way of wisdom. If you receive his words, then you have to do. And it is God who works in us to do. But the responsibility is ours. Do. Receive his word. You have to do that. Incline your heart and hear. You have to do that. Treasure up God's command in your heart. You have to do that. Pray for understanding. You have to do that. Seek wisdom as though it were buried treasure. You have to do that. Then you will receive wisdom. You can't just sit and say, okay, God, give me wisdom. No, you have to put effort into gaining it. You have to work to get wisdom. And then that wisdom that God gives keeps you secure through the wilderness of this tribulation-filled earthly life. So you may be assured as you walk in wisdom that you will dwell in the land, because you'll do so as one who is, in fact, upright, upright in Christ. You believe the word, you've received it. You inclined your ear to it. You believe its promises. You seek to follow the Lord as his disciple. That's what it means to be upright, upright in Christ, by faith, a faith that works. A faith that bears fruit. So I want to look just a little bit more carefully and more fully at the ifs and the thens of our passage here from Proverbs 2. And remember, it's if you seek after wisdom, then you will gain its great benefits. So the first step in gaining wisdom that's given us here is to receive the word of the Lord. Receive the word of the Lord. If you receive my words and treasure up my commands within you, then... Now, we understand that to dwell in the land, as the end of the chapter goes, right? The upright will dwell in the land. That's the consummation of salvation. There is no salvation. There is no hope of getting into the eternal home of the upright unless you receive the word of the Lord into your heart. That's the gospel. That's the scriptures. That's the testimony to Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. It's got to be in your heart. You can't just hear the gospel, hear the scriptures, and have the content just sort of skip across your mind and skip off, because then it's like the word in the Matthew 13 parable of the sower. The word is just like it's carried off by birds. It doesn't ever get into the heart. It's like seed in rocky soil. It can't grow because there's nothing there to sustain it. Or it's among the thorns which squeeze out the word. See, the word of God will not yield wisdom unless it's rooted in a fertile soil, a heart that receives it. Now, there's a calling here to receive the word of the Lord. to have your heart inclined to it, to apply your heart to it. That's a call. There's lots of people who, you know, they go to some rally, some evangelistic rally, they attend the church, whatever. But they're not really wanting to receive the word. They just want to see if they can pick something out of it that might make life a bit better, or make them feel better, whatever it might be. That doesn't lead to wisdom. You have to receive the word of the Lord. That's a willingness on your part. It's a calling on your part. Receive the word. Every time you come to church, every time you hear the gospel, you should be willing and ready to receive it. Have that attitude. I'm here to receive the word of the Lord. To make my ear attentive to it. That's your call. Make it attentive to it. And then call out to the Lord to grasp wisdom. He's there to help us. We lean on Him. We depend upon Him. We cry out to Him. That's what it takes to gain wisdom. So that then you're able to follow the way of wisdom. And notice again, who is to do the receiving? Who is to make his ear attentive? Who is to store it in his heart? Who is to apply the heart? Who is to call out for understanding? You are. Really, all people are. The only way to be assured of security all the way home is to gain the wisdom which God tells us that we have to gain. And how to do it, as we just said. So we may walk in the way of goodness. We may walk in the way of righteousness. Keep to the path of righteousness, which is the way of the upright, who will dwell in the land. So the upright, really, in this passage, are all those who are doing the ifs of Proverbs 2. And they get the benefits of the then. So they're equipped to follow the way of wisdom. They are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're followers of Him who is wisdom. They are the upright. They're those who do receive the word of God in their hearts. They are applying themselves to get understanding that discerns the right way to go. Through all of this earthly life's challenges, through all their wilderness circumstances, because they have sought after wisdom, they have it, and it's there for them to use, to guide them, to direct them, to keep them on the way of wisdom. Keep them secure. Security all the way home. That's the great benefit of gaining, seeking after wisdom. God tells us in our text that He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. It also says that God is a shield to those who walk uprightly, that He guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of His saints. And the saints are all those who are His beloved in Christ by faith. See, the resources of God's wisdom are to us a shield. If we gain it, they're a shield to us. That's how God preserves us, gives us security. Because we walk in the way of wisdom. It's a protector for us on the way home, wisdom is. He stores up wisdom. He stores it up in our hearts. As we seek it from Him, it's stored up, it's there. It's a resource for us to use. So when you face a challenging faith, challenging situation, you have the wisdom to do the right thing. You won't fall into temptation. Oh, you might, but if you apply wisdom properly, you won't. You won't follow the path of evil. It's a shield. Wisdom is a shield. God uses the wisdom He gives you as a gift, as a shield, all the way home. By wisdom, Our text tells us, you will understand righteousness and justice and integrity. Those are all, that's what the kingdom of heaven is really about. And through wisdom, you get an understanding of that, so it feeds your Christian conscience. So you know right from wrong. You know the way of wisdom rather than the way of evil. You know the right way to go in whatever situation you find yourself. You know what a follower of Jesus should do. You know the right course of action to follow in this circumstance of your earthly life. Now, you don't always have, and we know this, whatever you're facing, there might not be an actual verse in the Bible that tells exactly what you should do in this particular situation. But if you have wisdom, wisdom understands the big picture. Wisdom draws on the general precepts of God's commandments, of God's morality, of His righteousness, so it can deduce what would be right. You can act wisely because you have wisdom. Now, you're not going to do it consistently, as you know you should. That is to follow the way of wisdom always in every circumstance. But when you fail, and we all do, you know it was not you that failed. It's not you, the one with the new heart. It's not you that receives God's word. It's not you, the new creation in Christ. It's sin that dwells in you that failed. That's what Paul says, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. He knows it's his flesh that's failed. It's the sin that dwells in him that failed. That's the true of us too. So what are we to do? Well, we are to take to heart this passage here. We are to apply our hearts to wisdom. Apply our hearts to wisdom. Get more wisdom. Be more rooted in wisdom. Get more understanding of the Scriptures. Study them more diligently. Pray more diligently. So our hearts direct us more and more than does our flesh. That's what should happen. That's our sanctification. And if we are applying ourselves to wisdom, and we're seeking it like it's buried treasure, that wisdom will indeed enter your heart. And the discretion and the understanding of wisdom will guard you and deliver you from the way of evil. So again, this is not telling us to presume in God's grace. Not at all. It's just the opposite of that. Like when someone does live, you know, confesses Christ and lives recklessly and thinks, well, God will guard me through all this foolishness that I'm still willing to follow because of the lust of the flesh, being concerned with the things of the world rather than the things of the kingdom of heaven. No, that's God through wisdom guards you. For wisdom gives you discretion. And it gives you also the will to do what wisdom would do, to walk in the way of wisdom. No matter what comes at you, no matter how you're tempted, no matter how much the promises of God seem far off, wisdom has you focused on them, focused on the hope that we have in Christ, focused on your eternal home, focused on God, His faithfulness to persevere you all the way home. But He uses means. Wisdom is a means to keep you from falling off the path into danger, into the way of evil. See, the wisdom that we're to seek out and apply our hearts to and cry out for understanding of it, that wisdom, it goes on to give us pretty clear idea of what it guards us against in this chapter. Of men and women who delight in the perversions of evil, they're all around us. It's clear to us, the perverseness of evil, it's prevailing in our culture. Those who walk in the path of darkness, all of those are servants of Satan. They're trying to derail you from the path of uprightness by their deceiving, smooth talk, wanting you to conform to the world and its ways. Put your focus on the things that fulfill the lusts of the old man. It's all around us. And what they say, these people of evil, to us may seem wise to us at times. if we haven't stored up wisdom in our hearts. That's the danger. That's why we have to pursue wisdom. Wisdom delivers, it says it delivers from the ways of evil, because wisdom discerns bad company. Wisdom discerns that what is taught or advised or exampled, when that goes against the word of the Lord, you know it, because you have wisdom stored up. And so you don't fall for it. You get away from it. You listen to truth. Because that's the way of evil, and wisdom guards against and delivers from the way of evil. So that we choose, because we have wisdom, we choose the walk of uprightness. Again, it's the only walk of to be assured of dwelling in the eternal promised land. Now there's, in this passage too, one of the dangers that it points to is the adulteress, the forbidden woman. It's also called in the Hebrew, it's a strange woman. And she's strange because she's the woman who has allowed herself to forsake the accepted moral conduct of the culture. She has forsaken the covenant, the marriage vow she made before the Lord. She's foregoing all of that. And therefore, she's a danger to those who would be smitten by her smooth words or, you know, seductive words. And again, that's not an uncommon thing, very prevailing in our culture as well. I mean, it goes both ways, but that's what's in view here. And since, if you read through Proverbs, there's much emphasis on the woman, the adulteress, many chapters, it's a major concern of Proverbs. So the danger may refer more than just a woman who is an adulteress. The danger may refer to not just a particular wife who is unfaithful to her marriage, but it may refer more broadly to the grave danger of unfaithfulness to God by God's wife, his covenant people, in which case the danger is falling for the lure of idolatry. And we see that in Scripture very plainly, especially in the book of Hosea, where you know, God treats his people Israel as an unfaithful wife. So there's the danger. Danger can be from the church, which is unfaithful to God. Wisdom keeps us from falling into that danger because we know uprightness. We know what the church ought to look like, what it ought to act like in its service of God. So here we have in Proverbs 2, this great theme that runs through really all of Proverbs and lots of Scripture is that we need wisdom to be secure all the way to home, to be kept on the path of righteousness, the path of goodness, the path of uprightness. We need wisdom, and wisdom is from the Lord. It's a gift that we're called to seek after, to be attentive to inquire, to incline our hearts towards it, to treasure it like buried treasure. And so my prayer is for myself and for all of you and for all who hear this, that all of us who have been privileged to hear the word of the Lord, let's not just have it glance off our minds week after week. You know, the Bible just sits on our shelf during the week, and maybe we pull it out for Sunday. Let's not have it glance off our minds so it has no impact on our lives, to direct our path, to keep us secure. Let's store it in our hearts. Let's receive it, store it in our hearts. Let's cry out to the Lord, often for understanding. Let us apply ourselves to gaining the gift of wisdom more and more. Let us be those who by wisdom securely follow the way of uprightness all the way to the eternal home of the upright. All by God's grace, using all of his means, including the wisdom that we are to pursue. Let us be secure on the way home. Amen. Let us pray.